I won't be long, and I have to apologise for my phone going off. It was my phone that went. All the people, I never hardly use my phone, but anyway, I do apologise for that. In actual fact, In actual fact, Ken has said most of what I was going to actually say, because and it's not going to be long, but I just want to, the fact of the presence of the Lord has been so much on our hearts and our spirits, hasn't it? And we really want the presence of the Lord. And I just got a few notes here, and a lot of it I'm going to actually read, because they're quotations from Tozer and Lloyd-Jones, and that these were great men of God. And so, but there is a difference, and we're aware of this, but it's good to know it again. There is a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. Because we know that God is everywhere. Tozer uses the expression, the universal presence of God, and God is everywhere, but they are not the same. The omnipresence is one thing, the manifest, the clear evidential presence of God is something different, and that's what we're wanting, isn't it? That clear evidential presence that we know without any shadow of doubt that God is in the midst of his people. And just the scripture says, where can I go from your spirit? I'm reading from Psalm 139, not all of it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? In other words, God is everywhere. We cannot get away from the presence of God. God is here. God is with us when we leave this place, when we go home, when we have our lunch, when we come back again, when you go to work. Wherever we go, God is there. And he's there for everybody, actually. Nobody is outside the presence of God, because God is omnipresent, everywhere. And the psalmist goes on to say, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And that truth is taken over into the New Testament as well, because in the Acts, when Paul is preaching, I think it was Athens, he's talking about the omnipresence of God and the Lord, and he says so that people should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And he's talking to the unsaved as well as the saved there. He's talking to every creature. We know that God is everywhere. But when Jacob woke up from his dream, he said, surely God was in this place and I did not know it. And I think that's the key, isn't it? God is in this place, but I did not know it. And we're not always aware of the presence of God. And that's what we want to be. We want to be aware of the presence of God. God is here in this place right at this very moment while I'm talking. But I want to be aware. I want to be aware that he's here. You want to be aware that he is here. And Solomon said, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? But what happened when he built the temple? The Lord said, yes, I do dwell with my people. And the fire came and the presence of the Lord was there that they couldn't minister. So I come back to what I said. The presence, the omnipresence and the manifestation of the presence of God are not the same. You can have one without the other. And we have the omnipresence of God, but we don't always have the manifest presence. We don't always have that sense of his presence, that evidence of his presence in our midst. And that's what we're longing for. That's what I want every time I come here. I want to meet with God, and I want to know I've met with him. And we all want to be, because when he comes and when he manifests and reveals himself, then some wonderful, precious things can happen. And we need to be aware. And it's our sensitivity of spirit that makes us aware whether he's here or not. Moses at the burning bush, God was there. But he became aware of his presence when God spoke to him. And he said, Moses, I am here. This is holy ground. Take your sandals off your feet. And then on the mountain, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. So these men knew what it was to see in one way or the other, or feel with their whole being, the very presence of God. Adam and Eve knew the manifest presence of God in the Garden of Eden. And that's what God wants to restore to every one of us, the manifest sense of his presence. But when sin came, we know they hid themselves from the presence of God. And man has done that ever since. But it's through the redeeming work of Christ that we are back in his presence. God lives in us, and we live and walk in him. And to be actually aware of his presence daily, to enjoy him. And this is where I want to read excerpts from Tozer and then from Martin Lloyd-Jones, because they say it a lot better than I do. And Tozer says this: the world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence. The instant cure of most of our religious ills would be to enter the presence in spiritual experience, to become suddenly aware that we are in God and that God is in us. God can be known in personal experience. A loving personality dominates the Bible, walking among the trees of the garden and breathing fragrance over every scene. Always a living person is present, speaking, pleading, loving, working, and manifesting himself whenever and wherever his people have the receptivity necessary to receive the manifestation. Alan has been blessed this morning. I trust everyone has. His spirit has received a manifestation of the presence of God, and he knows it. And we all need that. And we need to come expecting and in that place to receive that manifestation. He goes on to say, a spiritual kingdom lies all about us, enclosing us, embracing us, all together within reach of our inner selves, waiting for us to recognize it. God himself is here, waiting our response to his presence. And that's worship, isn't it? That response. Hebrews says we've come to Mount Zion, to a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, to God, the judge of all, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And I want to read what Lloyd-Jones says in his messages on revival, and again, the manifest presence of God. He says, the essence of a revival is that the Holy Spirit comes down upon a number of people together, upon a whole church, upon a number of churches, districts, or perhaps a whole country. It is a visitation of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People are conscious that it is as if something has suddenly come down upon them. The Spirit of God has descended into their midst. God has come down and is amongst them, a baptism, an outpouring, a visitation. The effect of that is that they immediately become aware of his presence and of his power in a manner that they have never known before. Ken mentioned that. He says, I am talking about Christian people, about church members gathered together as they have done so many times before. Suddenly, they are aware of his presence. They are aware of the majesty and the awe of God. The Holy Spirit literally seems to be presiding over the meeting and taking charge of it and manifesting his power and guiding them and leading them and directing them. That is the essence of revival. The immediate effect is that the people present begin to have an awareness of spiritual things and clear views of them such as they have never had before. They begin not only to see these things clearly, but to feel their power. God has made us creatures of feeling and sense and emotion. When he comes, they are highlighted in his presence. What are these things of which they become so aware? First and foremost, the glory and the holiness of God. Awe, reverence, holy fear, the consciousness of God in his majesty, his glory, his holiness, his utter purity. This is the supreme need of the church today. In one way, the main trouble with the Christian church as she is at the moment, that's back in the 50s and 60s, the main trouble with every one of us in our daily life and living, as that we fail to realize that the living God is among us. What is the church? It is this institution, this body in which God himself dwells. And what he does in revival is to remind us of that. When God acts in revival, everybody present feels and knows that God is there. Of course, we believe this. We believe this by faith, yes, but we should know it. We should have a realization of it. We should be conscious of his nearness, and that is what revival does for us. God says, I am going to do this thing. Then all of you will realize that I am among you. I am acting in your midst. I, the living God, have come down amongst you. I am in you. You are my people, and I dwell in you, and I walk in you. That is what the church needs to realize today. And those truths still ring true today, don't they? And we're looking for the presence of God in our meetings, whichever way he comes. But we do know, and we've had precious times over the years, but when the Lord comes, we will all know it, and who knows what he is going to do. We've looked for people to be touched, to be saved, and that's happened actually in the past in the meetings. We're looking for people to be healed. We're looking for these things to happen, and I believe that they will happen in the presence of the Lord. We went round to Angie's house to talk yesterday, and we listened to a tape of a brother in America, and he had throat trouble. And obviously it's relevant with Angie, but he'd had his throat damaged through a virus, etc. And he was a preacher. He'd been to over 60 physicians. He'd been to Switzerland, I believed, and somewhere to have diagnosis, etc. And they had told him there was absolutely nothing that could be done for him. And he was asked to speak. He was a Baptist minister, I believe, and he was asked to speak in the church. And he was croaking. As he was speaking, he was croaking, and he was talking actually about healing, but he wasn't claiming anything for himself. And he had a special microphone equipped so that they could actually hear what he was saying, because his voice was so good. And it's incredible, because as he is preaching, he begins to get healed. And you can hear the gasps of the congregation and the excitement that's happening, and the emotion that comes over him. And he says, and God was beginning to strengthen his voice, and he began to speak. And then he preached the rest of his sermon. That was God. God was in the midst. And nobody touched him. Nobody prayed for him. God was in the midst. Who knows what God is going to do in our midst? And I really believe that God is coming. He is here, but it's the manifestation of him we want to see, isn't it? And experience and feel. So, Lord, come. Amen. Amen. Come.